Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You notice that today is a little different, and the readings are not the regular readings. And I'm taking this moment to share with you about the mission of Bethesda and what we are doing. Our purpose, really sole purpose to exist, the very reason why we exist, is to enhance the lives of people who have intellectual and developmental disabilities through services that share the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's about Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. How did this come up? So why do we do that? I don't know whether you are familiar with, but the word Bethesda, which we read in our gospel text, is an Aramaic word, which is an ancient language, which means a house of mercy. So we believe at Bethesda that people who are supported by Bethesda Ministries find the place of Bethesda as a place where they can come and receive mercy. You remember the story of the pool at Bethesda? It was a significant one. All the readings we've had has special meaning, beginning from Psalms reading and the epistle reading has special meaning for what we do at Bethesda. You'll remember that at this place, people who came there were people who are significantly challenged in life. They were called invalid or lame or blind. And the only way they could receive mercy or healing was when the pool stirred and they managed to throw themselves into the pool at that moment. Then they received healing. Think about jacuzzi. Are you familiar with jacuzzi? Probably you can picture that. That's not the way this pool functioned. The story goes that the angel of the Lord come down and stirred the water at certain times during the day. And the only time you will be able to receive any healing or relief from your whatever pain was when you managed to throw yourself into the pool at the time. The water is kind of jacuzzi when you set your minutes, 30, 50, 40, 15 minutes, and then you enjoy the moment, right? Now, this man was laying there for 38 years, and this has not happened for him. We can be impressed by his patience waiting for 38 years for one thing to happen for him. Keep lying there for the healing from his disease to happen for him. That's one impression. But the more impression is that when he was to share his story with Jesus, as Jesus visits this person, remember that this is a time when Jesus himself was walking on this earth. So Jesus comes by and walks straight to this man who's been waiting this long and says, if he asks him if he wants to get well. Of course, that's why he's answering. But he wonders, how can this happen for me? I've been waiting all the time. The moment the water stirs and I try to throw myself into the pool and take one step down, well, all these other people kind of jump in front of me. And I don't have anyone who helps me. So the reason why this guy cannot receive the help he desperately needed is because there was no one who can help him. It wasn't about his faith, which also we don't know, but suggests to us that the other individuals who came there for the same reason probably had other family members who could help them when the pool starts, or maybe they're a little higher functioning and they were able to pull themselves and throw themselves in the pool at the time when the pool starts. Luckily, by God's grace, he did not have to throw himself into the pool. Jesus tells him, take your mat and go. So this man who has been laying there for 38 years receives his healing from Jesus Christ himself. And he walks his way. 115 years ago, the founders of Bethesda, a place of mercy, looked in their community, in their neighborhood, and they found that there are people who did not have access to church. They did not know about God, about Jesus, because they didn't have opportunity to hear that message. Those days, even their own family members were ashamed of them. They didn't know how to deal with them. And Bethesda found a place for them. So if you will, really at Bethesda, people who have disabilities, most of them very significant intellectual and developmental disabilities, find the place of Bethesda as a place where they can live the life they want, but more importantly, have opportunity to hear the word of God and receive the gift of God, the mercy of Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of sin. I want to share with you a story of a girl called Alana. She's one of the people supported at Bethesda, somewhere in the Midwest. Alana did not know about Jesus Christ, but at Bethesda, she got opportunity to know about Jesus.
When I met with Elena, and I said, Elena, what church would you like to go to? She said, what's church? Our ministry consultants work with the people we support, and we focus on what is it that that person wants. Each person has a faith in action profile, and that profile really says, this is what I need support in. I need support in going to church on Sundays, going to Bible study during the week, or can you remind me before I go to bed to say my prayers? Our consultants also walk alongside the congregation to help them support that person in their faith. The ultimate goals for the people we support are that, one, it's their choice, and two, for that person to be fully included in word and sacrament in the church.
She just loves going to church. She has no care in the world because she's there. You can see it every time she goes in there.
Means we say what our faith is, what we believe about Jesus. Okay. So the first question is, whose words are in the Bible?
God.
Yes.
Looky here.
Yeah.
Look. How are you?
Fine.
We're excited.
Elena Duntley will confirm her faith in her Savior Jesus Christ here today.
Friends, this is a joyful day. 4.5 years ago, we celebrated your baptism at that baptism font. And throughout the last year, we have been teaching you all about God's Word and God's love for you. In summary of all that, I simply ask you 4 questions today. Do you know that God loves you because of Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus died for you?
Yes.
Do you believe that because Jesus rose from the dead, he gives you eternal life?
Yes.
And do you want to continue to grow in this faith and life in Jesus?
Yes.
Elena Robin Duntley, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
And Elena, Amen. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. God bless you.
Elena, take and eat the very body of Christ given to you for the forgiveness of sins, and take and drink the very blood of Christ shed on the cross for your forgiveness. And Elena, now may the body and blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace, knowing that your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll thank God, okay, Elena?
Let's make a joyful noise to God.
Now, there are many Alanas in our own communities who, without our help, without us affording them opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, have no way of knowing that, including their families. In any given population or community, about 4% are people who have significant intellectual and developmental disabilities, not just disabilities. Disabilities generally is about 19 to 20%. And of that percentage, about 4% of that population are people who have developmental and intellectual disabilities. And Bethesda just supports very little of those. Now you might wonder, we don't have resources, we don't know how to do this. How can we do this? And I want to share with you a story of someone, we called him David, a very traditional Lutheran person. What his experience was many, many years back, we call him David, and I want to share Dave's story. It's so powerful that I don't want to tell it in my own words, I just want to read it for you, that particular story. He says, next. I was baptized as an infant in a German Lutheran church. My family was one of the founding families of Lutheran Church in Southern California in 1944. I was raised in a Lutheran home, went to Lutheran Sunday school and confirmation classes, was confirmed as a junior high student, and took part in the local Walter League. Anybody familiar with that? Walter League? I was asked to help with a fundraising effort on behalf of Good Shepherd Lutheran Home, Terrabella. The campaign went well, and I learned a lot about the mission and ministry of God at that organization. The turning point in my life came about through a visit to home in Terrabella, California. From my background and educational experiences, I had a pretty good head knowledge of Lutheran Christianity and thought I was doing it right. I mean, I was in choir, I was worshiping, teaching, being an officer in the congregation, helping with this fun drive and so forth. Was I a believing Christian? I thought I was, and was quite satisfied with the way I was going. Then came the trip to Terrabella. I thought I was well prepared to visit the home and take a tour of the various campus, parts of the campus. As it turned out, God had a different tour in mind for me. Good Lutheran family, well educated in Lutheran Christianity, many years of experience in the church, I still was what I called a head Christian. But at Terrabella, I found I was not prepared to see God in action with these people who we then called retarded. I just could not see how God had let them be what they were. Where was he in these people who just could not function as I understood how people functioned? I dropped off the tour and just went outside to wait until everyone else finished, and then we could drive home. And hopefully I could get them out of my mind. As I was sitting there, a young girl, maybe early teens, came up and sat down beside me. Looking at her, I could see that she was one of those I saw as incomplete. People who lived here. She just sat there for a while and then turned and asked me why I was so sad. Before I could think of an answer, she said, "Don't you know Jesus?" What was I supposed to say? I could go through all the stuff I learned in the Sunday school confirmation class in 3 years of pre-seminary preparation. But that didn't seem to be appropriate. How could someone I was so smarter than be putting me in a position where I didn't have an answer about my faith? I'll admit, I just stumbled around with an answer that didn't satisfy her nor me. She moved a little closer and put a little hand on my shoulder and said, "That's okay. Jesus loves you, even if you don't know how to love him." That did it. I was hit with a ton of bricks. She got it right. It wasn't what I knew. It wasn't what I did or what I worked at. He loves me. So what else was there to do? From then on, all I do is take God at his word, realize what his son has done for me, and that he still loves me, no matter what good or bad I do. All I can do is show that love for others around me and let them know why. And just by being there, with that hand on the shoulder, and the word "Jesus loves you even if you do not know how to love him." Next slide. Just a few example lessons from this David story. I believe personally, even myself, I was like David before I came to Bethesda. Even the first few months at Bethesda, I did not know how God functioned in the lives of these people who really significantly look so different. Like David, I was ignorant, I was doubting, and I was judgmental. I wasn't expecting God to move in action. David diminished the value of human worth. But on the other hand was this little girl, this little teen girl. The little girl was a living example of enduring God's grace and mercy. And we can learn from her, and we too can extend this grace and mercy to all people who need our help and care and learn from her. God is gracious and God is merciful. It's not what we have done or what we know really that brings us, makes us his children and people who belong to his family. He renews us with his word. He gives us his gift of forgiveness and salvation and even the hope of eternal life. He is the one who transforms us. He is the one who transforms human hearts and minds to proclaim the mighty one of God is the one who moves people. And the Holy Spirit, by his Holy Spirit, he continually calls, gathers, and enlightens each and every one of us and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth to share the good news of Jesus with all people. That's our story. You will find in our bulletin today an insert which gives us information how you may get involved with us. Of course, to be aware that there's this mission opportunity in our own backyard, people like Alana, and learning from David and this little teen girl who teaches us that really, it's not about what we know. Jesus loves us, even if actually we do not know how to love him. That's the good news. This is the third time I've been here, I believe, in the last 3 years. I was wondering whether I was getting a little shorter or this pulpit is getting a little higher. But that's beside the point. So one other way we engage with churches is being able to be present before you and share this message with you and trust that God can guide you, the Holy Spirit leads you. I have a table today that you can stop by and receive some information and maybe even some envelopes for opportunity to bless us with your gifts. Your sins are forgiven. You are not judged. It's not about what we know. It's about Jesus Christ who loves all of us and moves us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.